Margie Hardy program as we declare to you, souls are crying and men are dying. We must do all we can to win the lost. I'm Sharon Knotts, and the message we bring you today is Public Sinner Number 1, which I ministered recently at Faith Tabernacle. This message is for every sinner who believes that God could not or would not save you, and for every Christian who has battled with condemnation and guilt over your sinful past. I'll tell you at the close of the program how you can order this valuable message, Public Sinner Number 1.
Doesn't matter how far someone is in sin. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 5:20, where sin did abound, the grace of God did much more. The greater the sin, the greater the grace. The greater the sinner, the greater God's grace. The greater the sinner, the greater His mercy. The greater His power to save to the utmost. It would seem to me that the worst sinners make the best Christian, because like Paul, like Zacchaeus, like Kamal, they are deeply aware of the grace and mercy of God it took to open their eyes and set them free. Amen? And Jesus said not only that, the worst sinners who've been saved of much, He said, guess what? They love much. Let's go to Luke, the 7th chapter, one last story. He that is forgiven of much loves much. Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, speaking of Jesus. And Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have something to say unto you. And he said, Master, say on. He said, he gave him a parable now. He said, now remember, Jesus read his thoughts. He's going to answer his thoughts. Simon hasn't said anything. That's how a lot of times self-righteous people are. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And Jesus said, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman. He said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears. She wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. And you know the Eastern custom. They kiss on both cheeks. He said, you gave me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You wouldn't even kiss my cheek. And she's kissing my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. And this was not just regular olive oil. This was a perfume of spikenard that was worth a year's salary. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee. Look at this picture that we have. Jesus came and Simon was the host. You know, if you invite people to dinner, you greet them at the door and, you know, whatever, your little, come on in and have a seat. Let me, I take your coat, whatever we do. But their custom was, because they didn't have paved roads, they had dirty feet. And so they were supposed to have someone wash their feet so they wouldn't bring the dust and the dirt to the table, because they didn't sit at chairs at the table. They laid down on couches, so their feet was close to their food. But he didn't bother to wash Jesus' feet. He didn't give him the customary kiss, and he didn't anoint his head with oil. But this woman heard that Jesus was there, and she came, and the inference is she's a sinner. But we feel outrage in those words. We know that there's a lot being said here. These words are pregnant with the idea she's a wretched sinner. If you knew what manner of sinner she is, we can only imagine her reputation, how vile it was. She had the worst reputation in the area. And you are letting her touch you? And you're supposed to be a prophet? Don't you know what a sinner she is? And of course, Jesus gave the parable. Two people owed one creditor. One owed 500 and the other owed 50. One owed 10 times more than the other person. But the fact is, neither one of them could pay. Have you ever had someone say, well, you owe me $1,000, and you say, it may as well be $1,000,000 because I can't pay you. See, that's what it was. Jesus said that the creditor, he forgave them both because neither one of them could pay. You can go to jail back then for not paying 50, the same as not paying 500. He said, now, which of them is going to love that benefactor most? He said, well, obviously it would be the one he forgave the most. And Jesus said, you know, you judged rightly. Good for you. He says, but what about you? What about you? You look at this woman. Yes, her sins are many. Jesus did not gloss over her sins, and he never does. People love to pull out that one scripture and the other story where they brought the woman caught in adultery and they were getting ready to stone her. And Jesus said, let he that is without sin cast the first stone. I don't know how many times people have thrown that at me. I've had people write that in letters at me because you try to clean the church of people that are sinning in the church and trying to cover it up. They never go on to quote what Jesus said to the woman. Your sins are forgiven. Now go your way and sin no more. They never attach and sin no more to the story. And Jesus looked at her and said, your sins, which are many, you're the worst of the sinners. You're the public sinner number one in this town. But your sins that are many are forgiven you. He did not gloss over her sins. He mercified them. He gracified her sins. He said, your sins are forgiven you. Because when she came to Jesus, she came, she was saying, she was confessing, Lord, you are Lord. Somewhere along the way, she heard the preaching of Jesus and had repented. And with true repentance always comes great thanksgiving. Amen. And let me tell you something. There are many of us sitting here today that we've had many, many, many sins in our lives. And our past has a whole lot of dirty laundry. And then there's a lot of you sitting here today that you feel like you've been a good guy all your life. You've never done anything that bad. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter which category you fall in. All have sinned and we need the grace of God. Hallelujah. And when Jesus saves you from many sins, you will love much. I'm closing. I have no more Bible stories to give you, but I do have one more story I want to share with you. And this is a letter from someone. I don't know if she's here today or not, but she's in this church. She wrote me this letter a month ago. I'm not going to read you the whole letter. I'm going to read you part of it. Dear Sister Sharon, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I moved near the church nearly 2 years ago and asked the Lord to show me and lead me to a church home that I could get to easily, because I know that as much as I was out there in the streets chasing drugs, I need to be chasing God even more. You see, the devil has tried to take my life several times through drug addiction, a car accident, an incurable disease, which the Lord has protected me from. I'm going to skip some of it. Sister Sharon, I know now that I have a call on my life to preach the gospel. In particular, I have a desire to minister to women who are drug addicted and who are doing any and everything to get those drugs. You see, I've been there and done that. Molested by my father, who was a Washington, D.C. police officer from age 7 until 16. I didn't tell anyone because I didn't think anyone would believe me. My mother passed away when I was 3. My father used to tell me I looked just like my mother, and he would do things to me that have caused me to do things that I don't believe I would have done under different circumstances. I started drinking a glass full of vodka at age 10 because I was tired of crying at school after being molested all night long. I thought that the alcohol would take away the pain. I found later in life that it only escalated my desire to get even higher, so I started smoking marijuana. Eventually, that didn't do the trick either. Next, I did PCP, and believe it or not, that didn't do it either. Finally, I was introduced to crack cocaine by my kingpin drug dealer boyfriend, which after 15 years of using, almost overdosed, and was left for dead in the hallway of a crack house by my friends, quote unquote. My stepmother, my father, two sisters, and two brothers all cried at my bedside as the doctors told them I would not pull through, smoking through a ruptured appendix for 2 weeks and being completely dehydrated. This was back in 2001 when I heard Jesus tell me that I will live and not die. Something was still rooted in me that attracted me to men who had the characteristics of my father. I have been in abusive relationships all my life, physically, verbally, and someone actually tried to take my life by setting my apartment building on fire. 30 families lost their homes 2 weeks after Christmas after an ex-boyfriend tried to kill me. Today, I desire to be complete in complete obedience to the Lord. My God, His anointing is so strong upon me. Right now, as I open up to you after being told by the devil, if you share this with anyone, they'll just think that you're a nut. The devil is a liar. Her words. And you know what I say? Amen. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Is she here today? Are you here today, my sister? Are you here? Come on up here, Pam. Jesus saved to the utmost. Jesus saved to the utmost. Handarabashatarabasika. Yandarabakuli. Andarabasatarabakich. Andarabakosa. If you want Jesus today, get up here right now. If you want to be set free today, come up here right now. If you need Jesus, come on up here right now. If you don't know the Lord, if you have been on drugs and alcohol, and you've tried it all, here's a living witness that God is merciful. You're here today, and you can be set free. God is no respecter of persons. What He has done for Pamela Howard, He can do for you. He can do for you. He can save to the utmost.
Amen. What a revelation of God's unsurpassing grace. If He can save the chief of sinners, He can save anyone. Paul's conversion proved the worst sinners can make the best Christians and the best soul winners. He was the least likely to be saved, but he became the poster child for God's mercy. He hated Jesus. He forced Christians to blaspheme and put them to death because he was blinded by religious lies. Like him, there are sinners today who think they're good guys. They don't see their need for God. But don't give up on them. God can open their eyes just like He did Paul's and like He did Kamal Salid's, a Muslim jihadist who met Jesus Christ through the love and goodness of Christians. If you missed his testimony or that of Pam Howard's, a crack addict who was a victim of incestuous sexual abuse as a child, you can order this entire message on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the R.G. Hardy Radio Ministry. Ask for offer SK160. That's S as in Sharon, K as in Knots, 160. The mailing address is Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Or you can order online at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. The offer number again for public sinner number 1 is SK160. Send your love gift of $10 or more to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203, or order at rghardy.org. Even if you don't wish to order today, we would love to hear from you and to know whether or not the radio ministry is blessing you. Why not write us today or go online and let us know how you're blessed by the R.G. Hardy broadcast. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.